his first time leading songs at Grace of Calvary, did a great job. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew tonight, chapter 18, please. Matthew chapter 18. Wasn't that exciting? That family got saved this morning. Husband, wife, and the little girl that they are foster parents for got saved. Boy, that's precious, isn't it? And there's a little girl who might otherwise have never heard the gospel, but because she was a foster child of these people. And that's the first time they've ever been here. They just walked in and got saved. Praise the Lord for that. Now, you keep praying for them. Remember Chris and Maureen, all right? Pray for them. All righty. Well, Matthew chapter 18, Pastor Rivera will be preaching Wednesday night. So come and hear him preach. All right, Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Let's bow for a word of prayer. My Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the wonderful word of God, for the wonderful grace of Jesus, and for the great salvation plan that you, from eternity past, Father, have had in mind for mankind, that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank you, my Lord, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you that you're no respecter of persons. And Father, that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, Father, we pray tonight for those who know Christ as Savior, that you would sharpen us, take us out of your toolbox tonight and put a sharper edge on us, if you would. Help us, my Lord, to incorporate biblical things in our lives so that we can honor you and glorify Christ and win the lost. I pray, my Heavenly Father, for those who might be watching or listening or even seated here with us, who have never been saved, never been born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I pray you'd open their hearts and their minds to your truth, that they would receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and have the gift of eternal life. Father, now I pray by your Spirit you'd open the lips of your servant and the heart of your people. Accomplish your will. We'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As you've probably figured out, I'm going to preach tonight on the subject of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a big deal. Forgiveness is why Jesus came. Now, you would think that as people who need forgiveness, that we would be willing to forgive and we would be quick to forgive. But we're not. It seems that human beings have a penchant for seeking forgiveness, but not for extending forgiveness. We also are quick to ask for mercy, and yet very stingy at offering mercy. The nature of sin is selfishness. From the selfishness of Lucifer, to the selfishness of Adam, to the selfishness of we ourselves. And the nature of God is selflessness. From the creation to the crucifixion to the present preaching of the gospel displays the selflessness of the Creator God. Herein lies the power of selflessness over selfishness, that a person can become a new creature in Christ by being born again. And in being born again, a man or a woman becomes a partaker of the divine nature. So we become a new creature in Christ. We become a partaker of the divine nature. And being indwelt by the Holy Spirit and being sealed unto the day of redemption, which is very important. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. The believer has a newfound power to have selflessness rule over selfishness. And part of selfishness is the inability to forgive. And part of selflessness is the power to forgive. The offended forgiving the offender. The innocent forgiving the guilty. The creditor releasing the debtor. And the New Testament teaches us about forgiving by answering several questions for us. Number one, how often should I forgive? That's the question Peter had. Did you see Peter came to the Lord Jesus? He came with a question, and then he came with his self-imposed answer. And I think sometimes that's how we are when we come to the Lord. When we come to Him in prayer, when we come to Him about some need or something, we come and we ask a question, but we supply the answer. In other words, we know what we want the answer to be, so we suggest that answer to God in hopes that He will adopt our suggestion and do things the way we think they ought to be done and things ought to be the way we want them done. But God doesn't do that. You know why? Because God's faithful. Because God is truth. Because God is light and in Him is no darkness. And so when we come to God, we may have a question and we may want to provide the answer, but He's not obligated to agree with our answer. The question was by Peter, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And he didn't even give the Lord time to answer it. His own answer was, till seven? See? So Peter, being magnanimous, suggests that seven is the righteous answer as to how many times we should forgive a brother. Seven times seems to be an appropriate response. Seven being the biblical number of completion, so it seems like if I can forgive my brother seven times, I've completed my responsibility, I've completed the forgiveness, and therefore I'm off the hook. And after all, the rabbis taught that three times was enough. So if the rabbis teach that three times is enough, and I'm going up to seven times, that ought to be good enough. That seemed pretty enlightened to Peter. That seemed pretty magnanimous to Peter. You see, Peter, being under the law, wished for a law. Peter's lived all his life according to the law, the law, the law. And the law was a prescription of the righteousness of God. And so Peter, being used to having a law, you know, when you have a law, you can check it off. And so Peter was hoping perhaps there was a law that would set the bounds of forgiveness. That way you could keep the law and eventually not have to forgive your brother at the same time. But the Lord Jesus must have blown Peter's mind when he replied a response that Peter had no clue, had no expectation of. When Peter heard what Jesus said, it must have been like an atomic bomb. Because the Lord looked at him and said, not seven times. I say unto thee, 70 times seven. Jesus said, try 490 times. Now, it takes the grace of God and divine nature to forgive like that, doesn't it? You know the kind of grace that God had toward you in forgiving you? And God didn't forgive you for just 490 sins. We'd have ran that tally out way long ago, amen? But God has forgiven you for thousands times thousands of sins. God has forgiven you for sins you don't even know you've committed. David said, cleanse thou me of my secret faults. David said, I'm such a sinner, I sin and I don't even realize I'm sinning. Lord, forgive me. I'm glad that God doesn't have a tally sheet and God doesn't say, well, Mr. Alquist, you're about one more sin to go. And then we're done. Aren't you? As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. You're allowed to do that. You can talk to your brother if he's offended you, if he's sinned against you, if he's trespassed against you. You can go tell him. But you know what we do? We let that thing fester in there. And we'll go to prayer and we'll pray down the fire of God and the lightning of God upon that brother who's offended us, and they don't even know they've offended us. He said, if your brother offends you, he trespasses against you, why don't you go talk to him about it? Why don't you go tell him? Why don't you go rebuke him? And if he repent, forgive him. Maybe that's why we don't go. Huh? You ever think maybe that's why we don't go and rebuke him? Because we really don't want to forgive him. And if we go and rebuke him and he repents, then we got to forgive him. He said if he repents, then forgive him. Now listen. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent. Thou shalt say, oh yeah, right. No, it says, thou shalt forgive him. Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Isn't that amazing? That takes the grace of God, doesn't it? That takes the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. If a brother trespass against thee and repent and you forgive him and you turn your back, he does it again and he repents 7 times in a day. That takes a lot. It takes more than we've got, folks. It takes the grace of God. But that's the kind of forgiveness that God extends to you. Because he said to you, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I said before, I'm glad God doesn't keep count. But you know what he does? He starts over at zero every time I seek forgiveness. When I go to God and I confess my sin to him, it's at zero now. Isn't he awesome?
Hallelujah.
I believe one of the reasons for this was expressed by the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now they were sinning against God the Son and God the Father. They were sinning against the Word of God. They were crucifying the Son of God with cruel hands and wicked devices. And he hung there in all of his agony and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't even know what they're doing. You know, we sin so easily, don't we? And we sin often, we don't even know what we're doing. Haven't you ever said, why'd I do that? Why'd I say that? Why did I look at that? Why did I read that? Why? See, you don't even know what you're doing half the time. You see, it is true that so often the people who offend us or trespass against us or sin against us aren't even aware of it. We get offended too easily. I mean, look around our culture today. It's like everybody's offended. I mean, just your being alive offends somebody, right? Quit breathing, you offend me. Quit living, you offend me. That's where we're coming to. We get offended so easily. And sometimes people don't even know they're offending us and we're offended. Another reason is that when we refuse to forgive, we may cause more injury. 2 Corinthians 2:7, when dealing with an erring brother in the church of Corinth, the Apostle Paul wrote this, so that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up of overmuch sorrow. And so here the offender had repented and sought forgiveness, but apparently there were some in the congregation who wanted even more severe punishment. You know, there are people like that. You know, they carry a whip around with them all the time. They carry a bludgeon around all the time. And Paul had to write to the church, he said, contrariwise, in other words, don't go with your natural inclination. If your brother has repented, forgive him and comfort him. Or else, if you don't, you're going to load upon him such a sorrow that it'll overcome him and he'll never be able to live for the Lord. You You're going to cause more harm, perhaps, in not forgiving him than he caused in his offense. And so the Bible teaches us that forgiveness should be granted to those who seek it. How much? As much as he needs. And boy, that doesn't go down well for the natural man, does it? The natural man wants vengeance. The natural man wants to get even. The natural man wants payback. The natural man wants to hold a grudge. James said, grudge not one against another, brethren. Number two. That was how often. Number two, how much? How much should we forgive? We're to forgive others in the same manner that God has forgiven us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, here it is, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So how often should I forgive? 70 times 7. How much should I forgive? Let me ask you this. Why did God the Father forgive you? Why did he forgive you? I just read it. For Christ's sake. He didn't forgive you because you're so wonderful. He didn't forgive you because you have promised to turn over a new leaf. He didn't forgive. He forgave you for Christ's sake. If it wasn't for Jesus, you would not be forgiven. If it wasn't for Christ, there would be no forgiveness. You would be a cinder crying for help in an eternal lake of fire if it wasn't for Jesus. He forgave you for Christ's sake. Because the Lord, he forgave you because Jesus asked him to. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. And Christ has a right to ask because he paid the price. Amen. To honor the Son, the Father forgives sinners for the Son's sake. In other words, God could say to you as a sinner, you know, you deserve to die and spend eternity in hell. But my Son, Christ, died for you. He hung on a cross for you. He shed his blood for your sins. He was buried and rose again. And I'm going to forgive your sins for his sake. Oh, I know, for God so loved the world. But the Bible doesn't say for God so loved the world that he forgave everybody's sins. Does it say that? Uh-uh. God doesn't... I'm going to try to say this. I hope you take it the right way. God doesn't save us because he loves us. Because he loves sinners that die and go to hell too. You know that, right? He loves everybody. He doesn't save us because he loves us. No, he provided a Savior because he loves us. Amen. He forgives us for Christ's sake. And how much of your sin has he forgiven? Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, listen, having forgiven you all trespasses. God has, if you've trusted Christ your Savior, God has forgiven you all trespasses. When I came to Christ, I had a boatload. Some were dark, some were darker, some were darkest. All under the blood, all covered, all washed away. For Christ's sake. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And all my sins, did we just sing about being forgiven? We sing about being forgiven. We praise God for being forgiven. All my sins are forgiven, past, present, future. None of my sins will be held against me for my eternal soul. And he did it for Christ's sake. And you know what he says to us? We're supposed to forgive others. Amen. Same way. For Christ's sake. Well, I don't want to forgive them. How about doing it for Jesus' sake? Take a look at the cross and see Jesus and hear him. And when he says, forgive them. Forgive them. How can we look at the cross and see him dying there for our sins and saying, forgive them, and not be able to forgive ourselves? I didn't mean forgive ourselves. I mean forgive ourselves. I didn't mean forgive ourselves. I meant forgive ourselves. You ever hear people say, well, you know, I can't forgive others till I forgive myself. Find that, show that to me in the Bible. I don't even know what that means. It sounds psychological, doesn't it? God does not ask us to do anything that He Himself has not done. And in addition, He gives us the power to do it by the Holy Spirit. God said, I want you to forgive one another, even as I forgave you for Christ's sake. But Lord, I can't do that. I know, that's why I'm going to enable you by the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm going to give you the grace and the power to do what you can't do yourself. Because I know you can't do it. And I'm not asking you to do it in your flesh. I'm asking you to do it in the Spirit. David knew this truth when he penned Psalm 25:18. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins, David said. David said, I got sins I don't even know about. But I need you to forgive me for all of them. Psalm 85:2. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Psalm 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. Do you hear that? He's ready to forgive. He's waiting to forgive. He wants to forgive. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. All them. Turn with me to Luke 7. Luke chapter 7. And look with me in verse 47. Luke 7, look at verse 47. And here was a sinner, it says over in verse 37. This woman was a sinner. And everybody knew she was a sinner. She came in and sat down and started washing Jesus' feet with her tears and with her hair. And all the publicans with their pride and their hypocrisy looked down their nose and said, don't you know that woman's a sinner? Yeah, Jesus knew she was a sinner. Look what he said in verse 47. He said, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. When a person understands the extent to which they have been forgiven, to that extent they will love the Lord Jesus. Amen. And serve Him with their life and their heart. You understand? To the extent that we understand how much we've been forgiven. He said, this woman, she's been forgiven so much. Look at her. She's at my feet crying and washing my feet with her tears and her hair. She's humble enough to do anything because she realizes she was a dirty, rotten, no good sinner and I forgave her all of it. Amen. Some of us have too high opinion of ourselves. We think God got Himself a prize when He got us. No, we got a prize when He got us. Some of us think we're not so bad. We weren't so bad. Listen, we're as bad can be. Sin is sin. And it took as much of the blood of Jesus to forgive whatever your sins were as it was to forgive mine, as it was to forgive hers. But the difference between her and some of us is she saw how much she was forgiven. She realized how much she was. She appreciated how much she was forgiven. And she loved much. Because she was forgiven much. Look at verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Isn't that what that woman was doing? Yep. Maybe we're not serving Jesus because we just don't understand how much we've been forgiven. Maybe we're not loving the Lord like we all love him because we just don't realize how wicked we were and how wicked we can still be if it's not for the grace of God. However, when a person does not appreciate what the Lord has done in forgiving their sins, they'll show that as well. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18 again. Go back to Matthew chapter 18 and let's look at verse 23. So Jesus says, Therefore is the kingdom of God likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now pay attention. 10,000 talents, at the last time I looked it up, was equivalent to $9,600,000. Wow. That's a lot of money to owe the king. In other words, he pilfered $9,600,000 of the king's money. But for as much as he had nothing to pay, he squandered it. His Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Yeah. How are you going to pay me $9,600,000? Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, 16 bucks. You catch that? And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. That should sound pretty familiar to that guy. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him and said unto him, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? See the principle? He said, I forgave you $9,600,000 and you can't forgive your fellow servant $16? You wicked servant. What do you think you are? What do you think I am when God has forgiven us so much we can't even imagine how much he's forgiven us and we can't forgive our brother a little offense? God's forgiven us $9,600,000 worth of sin and we can't forgive our brother $16 worth. You know what God says? You're a wicked servant. You're a bad servant. That's not a servant to be proud of. He said, I forgave you all that and you won't even forgive your brother that little thing. And so how often should we forgive? 70 times 7. How much should we forgive? All. And then let me ask this last question. Why? How often should I forgive? 70 times 7. How much should I forgive? As much as you have been forgiven. Why should I forgive? Because forgiving brings forgiveness. You know the sowing reaping principle, right? Whatsoever man soweth, that also shall he what? Reap. You want others to forgive you, then you must be willing to forgive others. We all need forgiveness. Sometime or another, right? There's times I'm going to ask you to forgive me, and there's times you're going to ask me to forgive you, and we ought to just be able to say, you're forgiven, brother. You're forgiven, sister. Why should we do that? For Jesus' sake. But the Lord Jesus puts a finer point on it. In Matthew chapter 18, you're there, look at verse 35. Here's the fine point Jesus puts on it. So likewise, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. He's saying God's going to call you on the carpet. Just like this Lord, this king called his servants on the carpet and said, what in the world? You know what happened to him? He was thrown in prison. The Lord's telling us here, if you're not going to forgive, then he's not going to forgive. You say, but he promised to forgive. You need to, you know, you have to have scripture with scripture. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. This word likewise, talking about sowing and reaping. And look what how he says they're supposed to forgive. You hear, did you catch it? From your hearts. He said, I don't want no lip service, forgiveness. I don't want no eye service, forgiveness. He said, it's got to be true, genuine forgiveness from your heart. It's, you know, it's easy to say, I forgive you, but not even mean it in your heart. Or to deceive yourself and think you've forgiven somebody for an offense and you've never forgiven them. Because every time you see them, there's that thing that happens, right? Wow. There he is. Oh, there he is. There he is. There he is. What am I going to do? There he is. But you haven't forgiven. If there's rancor in your heart, you haven't forgiven. If you can't rejoice when that brother rejoices, you haven't forgiven. You said you did, but it's not from your heart. You understand? You know, it's kind of like, you know, two siblings are fighting and the mother says, tell your brother you forgive him. I forgive you. And you know that ain't from the heart, right? That's how we are sometimes. It said every brother. It said every time. That's the standard. It has to be God's standard. Because that's God. Right? That's what God does. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye what? Sin not. That has to be God's standard. God's standard for you is to never, ever, ever sin. Not one single itty-bitty teeny-weeny time. Not one at all. That has to be his standard because he's holy, he's perfect, he's sinless. God's not like us. He can't say, well, you know, just don't do the big ones. You know, just stay away from them and then give you a list of five or six that are really bad. No, he says that you sin not. And then he says this, and if any man sin. Boy, he knows us, doesn't he? And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. You know what's nice? Jeremy can go into prison and preach to the worst cutthroats in that prison the true gospel of Jesus Christ and give them an honest, genuine offer of salvation. Isn't that exciting? Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Just turn a page to your left. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 12. Now this is the great Lord's Prayer. And I've taught you this wasn't meant to be repeat it over and over again like a vain and repetitious prayer like the Our Father is today. This is just a model prayer. But look what he says in verse 12. This should be our attitude. This should be our desire. This should be our words. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 14. Jesus said, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Look at this. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's kind of like, you know, you're going to go to the Lord and say, well, Lord, please forgive me. Oh, Lord, I messed up. And I sinned against you, and I need your forgiveness. Would you wash me and cleanse me? Would you forgive me? And he says, how about your brother over there? Did you forgive him? Well, no. I'll tell you what. You go over and talk to your brother and forgive him, and then come back over here and ask me to forgive you. That's what I see there. What do you see? You see, you think you don't have any obligation? You just willy-nilly run in and say, Lord, forgive me. And you're holding all these grudges and all these unforgiveness. And you think God's going to just say, yeah, okay. How can he forgive you for unforgiveness if you haven't confessed your unforgiveness? You got it? For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I want you to notice the word as in verse 12. And forgive us our debts, what? As we forgive our debtors. As. And notice the condition in verses 14 and 15. The condition is, if you forgive, I'll forgive. Could part of the temptation mentioned in verse 13, we skipped that, but let's look at it. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, now Jesus goes on in verses 14 and 15 to explain verse 12. But in verse 13, we have this mention of temptation. And could part of the temptation mentioned in verse 13, from which we are to ask deliverance, could it be the temptation not to forgive? Deliver us from the hard-heartedness of the man of Matthew 18 and give us the heart of the woman in Luke 7. Deliver us from the temptation of the selfishness of unforgiveness and deliver us into the selflessness to forgive. In Titus chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So God says, I want you to live godly. What's that mean to live godly? It means live like God. Be like Jesus. This is my song. In the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. We sing it, we don't live it. He's saying that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to live godly in this present world. Let me ask you this. WWJD. Everybody like to wear the necklaces and all that stuff. They wear it on their wrist and they don't even know what it would do. But what would Jesus do? I'll tell you what he'd do. He'd forgive. He'd forgive. Now listen. We're supposed to live godly in this present world. Supposed to be like God. What does God do? He forgives. So ungodliness is not to forgive. And worldliness is not to forgive. But godliness is to forgive. You know the old saying, to err is human, to forgive is what?
Divine.
Divine. We've been made partakers of the divine nature. We are new creatures and partakers of the divine nature and should therefore exhibit that newness and that divine nature by forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And maybe you're here tonight and you're a Christian, you're born again, you're saved, you have Jesus, your Savior. You know for sure you're going to heaven. But maybe you're having a struggle with forgiveness tonight. Maybe there's someone you hold a grudge against. Someone you wish ill toward. Someone that if they rejoice, you can't rejoice with them. Maybe there's someone tonight you need to forgive. Maybe tonight you need to come before God and say, Dear God, I need your grace. I need the power of your Holy Spirit to forgive from my heart the trespasses against me that I'm holding and going over and over again and again. God, I want to be more like you. I want to be selfless, not selfish. Help me. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved. The only one that can forgive your sins, as far as your eternal soul is concerned, is God. And God became a man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the living Word. He is God incarnate. And He came, yes, because He loved you. He died on a cross to pay for your sins. And He rose again so that He could offer you the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. Have you ever received it? Have you ever understood it? Have you ever reached out and trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and called upon Him and asked Him to forgive you? Maybe you need to do that right where you sit. Maybe tonight you realize you're a sinner lost and on your way to hell and you need to trust Christ to forgive your sins. You know what? It doesn't matter how dark your sins are, how many they are, He'll forgive them because He paid the price. He has the authority and the power. And maybe tonight you'd like to ask the Lord to forgive your sins and save your soul. If that's what you'd like to do, please look up at me right now. Just you and me. You're looking up, you're saying, "Preacher, I know I need to be saved, and I know I need Christ, and I want to trust Him as my Savior. I want to be forgiven right now." Anybody like that here in this building? If you're watching or listening, and that's your need, why don't you bow your head right now? Confess your sin unto God, and trust Jesus Christ and the payment He made on Calvary's cross, and ask Him right now to forgive your sins and save your soul. Tell Him you trust in Him and Him alone. Father, we thank You tonight. Lord, if without Jesus Christ, Your Son, and who is the Son of God and God the Son, we would be lost and without hope, without remedy, would be doomed. But Father, because of Him, You forgave our sins. And now, Lord, You've asked us to forgive others who have sinned against us. And when we sinned against You, it was a sinner sinning against a holy God. But when we sin against each other, it's just sinner against sinner. But You've asked us to forgive each other. You've asked us to be able to not hold grudges. Would You help us with that, Lord? Help us to be filled with the Spirit. May we present ourselves to be filled with the Spirit of God. May we seek Your face and ask that You'd help us, that we might be godly. And part of that godliness would require forgiveness. Guide and direct in the invitation, my Lord. If there's anyone here that needs to be saved, help them to see that need and respond in kind, and we'll give You all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing number 297. Open my eyes. Open my ears. Open my mouth. Open my heart. Why don't you come tonight and say, "Lord, You open my eyes just a little tonight, and I need to talk to You about it." Someone you need to forgive, bring them up here and bring them before God and say, "Lord, this is my problem. I'm having trouble here. I'm weak. I need Your help. I need Your strength." You're holding a grudge? Why don't you come and ask the Lord Jesus to carry it away for you? Maybe you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You come and see me. We'll help you, all right? As we sing, On the First.